good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Carnegie, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. Robert Pilot's my colonized name, Wendy, and my taxpayer name, and boy, we pay a lot of taxes here in Minnesota. I just got to throw that out there real quick. But hey, we have a radio show here. We've almost been on 4 years, and we talk about Native issues and all over Turtle Island, and we do news and have guests that you don't normally hear on other radio stations or media outlets. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Montessori American Indian Child Care Center. They're hosting an event called the Payne Phelan Harvest Festival, and it will take place on Saturday, September 25th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. So that's coming up.
Hey, I almost pulled up the wrong script and said I'd like to end with these thoughts, but we're just ending the show here, the wrong page. But, we're always excited to have Ogama and Lewis on with us. We got a couple guests today, Robert Lilligren, who is our regular, mm-hmm. regular, and...
Who else?
Once fellow met a fellow in the Philippines. I just had to get that out real quick. Go ahead. Sorry.
Vanessa Casillas from the Gatherings Cafe in Minneapolis.
Awesome.
Yes. Thank you for saving me on that. Let's go to Ogama right now while I work on my vowels. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Anim Buju, everybody. It's Ogama Ganui Kwe. I'm happy to be back, and miigwech to Lewis for covering for me yesterday. I appreciate you. As always, I want to start with a little bit of Line 3 news here. The Treaty People walk is still continuing and had met the horse ride that's also happening concurrently. What's happening right now is that there's two prayerful walks happening in Minnesota. One group of people is on horseback with Honor the Earth and Winona LaDuke going against the flow of oil in the pipeline towards the North Dakota border. And there are treaty walkers who are on foot who are going towards Superior, Wisconsin. So they have met along the way, and that is just really a beautiful thing that's been happening. So if you're not following that yet, you want to make sure that you tune in to stopline3.org, check out the hashtag stopline3, check out Twitter, Instagram, all your social media feeds, and find out what's happening with the horse ride for Line 3. Again, that's sponsored by Honor the Earth, so you can always check out their page as well. Another interesting thing that happened this week, looks like on Tuesday, so 2 days ago, as Minnesota Senator Tina Smith was pushing the climate program despite, margins that probably aren't going to be great even within Democrats. But she's pushing what's considered to be a landmark climate program aimed at cutting greenhouse gas emissions. However, she didn't mention at all during her speech about the Line 3 project in Minnesota at all. And I believe Thursday night, Amy Klobuchar was asked by some of her constituents what was happening with Line 3. Why hadn't she spoken out on Line 3 in Congress? And she basically just walked away without answering. And Governor Walz is guilty of the same thing. So here in Minnesota, we're really having a hard time getting our elected officials who were elected very clearly with a large Native vote. We rallied very, very much so to get some of these people elected. And, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota said he's called for 100% carbon-free electricity by 2040, but is putting in allowing a pipeline in Minnesota that's equal to 50 coal-fired power plants. That's more emissions from the Line 3 pipeline that's being installed. Once it starts running, there's going to be more emissions than Minnesota releases right now as a whole, which is just absolutely outrageous. So wanted to remind you all that that's happening, and that the next really big action that I believe is happening is actually going to be at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. It's going to be the People versus Fossil Fuels rally that's happening October 11th through 15th at McPherson Square. It's kicking off on Indigenous Peoples Day at 8 a.m. at McPherson Square in Washington, D.C. And there will be actions and activities happening every day through Friday, October 15th. And you can go to peopleversusvsfossilfuels.org for more information. Quick event that's coming up here in the Twin Cities. I'm pretty excited about this one. The Art and Cultural Festival is September 23rd through 25th, so that's kicking off today. That's on Payne Avenue in St. Paul. It's the Solidarity Street Gallery 2021, and it's the second edition of a one-of-a-kind art and cultural festival along the east side of St. Paul, and this year's focus is centered on Indigenous sovereignty and environmental justice. They're going to have artists, performers, poets, entrepreneurs, local businesses, civic leaders, community organizations, everybody. It's interactive for all ages, and it's going to be a really cool event. So if you're in the cities, you definitely want to check that out. Some other interesting points that came through today in the national sphere. NBC News reported that fossil footprints have shown that humans have been in North America more than 21,000 years ago. So they believe that people had arrived in the Americas before the last ice age, which it always makes me laugh a little bit when they make these so-called discoveries, because a lot of people, a lot of indigenous people know that we've been here for that long. But it's always exciting to have science back up how long we've been here. Right, Robert?
Yeah. You know, I always like when I hear Winona LaDuke speak and she says we've been here 10,000 of years. And here it's like, well, we've been here 21,000 years and we didn't come from anywhere else. And we didn't walk over any frozen kind of ice to get here from Asia, like white people like to tell us. So it's always
right. Yes. Yeah. The land bridge theory. Yeah. That one's lots of fun.
That's what it likes to come. They like to come at us in that way, because, you know, we can always pull our card like we've been here forever. And they go, oh, no, you've been fighting within tribes and you're not from here either. So that makes us equals. Sorry, right, I just exactly. Went on a tangent there.
Exactly. In other news, our relatives, the Willamette tribe in Oregon, have taken some land back. So the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde had media gathering on Tuesday as an excavator tore into a wall of an old abandoned paper mill known as the Blue Heron Paper Mill in Willamette Falls. And they have obtained that land back. Their tribal council said that the tribe's been trying to reclaim as much of their traditional homelands as possible, and this was a really big step, and it looks just really beautiful, the events from there. I found the article on OregonLive.com, and just to see that building come down and for them to talk about, you know, Willamette Falls was home to their villages and the Clackamas people, who ended up ceding the land to the U.S. government under the Willamette Valley Treaty of 1855 before being forcibly removed and relocated. The same stories that we have here in the 1855 Treaty of the Anishinaabe people, and they were able to reclaim that land. So happy for you over in Oregon, and we really want to say, you know, we're with you in solidarity there, and that's a beautiful thing that's happening.
Wow, yeah, and thank you for the news, Pinigigi, as always. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and we need to remember and tell everybody from the rooftops and top of your teepees and longhouses that we've been here for over 10,000 years. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Vanessa, and we're going to be talking about the Gatherings Cafe. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, this last weekend, Wendy, I was gone for a few days, mm-hmm. and I was doing some business for the nation, and then mm-hmm. also the next day, Saturday, was the general council that was put on by the people, and I got to run into this young warrior that is Ho-Chunk also that we have on the show today. Nice. And Vanessa, who has done a lot of things over the years. I want to just get her on and have her introduce herself mm-hmm. and tell us a little bit what she's been doing and what she does and what kind of things we can help her with, because I know where she's working right now, they have a call to action. Welcome, Vanessa.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me as a guest on your radio show. I'm actually calling still from my office. I am at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And my position here is the Gatherings Cafe Business Manager and Internship Coordinator. I'm still here in the building, and you might hear some background noise because we have drum and dance tonight at the center from 6 to 8.
Awesome. Hey, so, I know you used to be a steel worker. Can you talk just a little bit about that before we get into what you're really here for?
But sure,
I just think that's just so awesome.
So I'm a union bricklayer. Coming up in April will be my 16-year anniversary. I'm a third-generation Mason. So that was my first love. A first love in terms of finding a work that really fit my niche. But then I also love food. I love to make food. And honestly, taking brickwork and translating it over into baking cakes, stacking them like bricks, crossing them up like you got a trowel and you're parging up mortar, translates really well.
Wow, that is exciting. And yeah, so you guys have a restaurant in the Indian Center, and I know every time I go there, I tell Wendy, I go, I just had a great lunch. I think last time I was there, I was with Dr. Stately, and I had some awesome fish and soup. Can you talk a little bit about the restaurant? And I know you guys have been doing a banner job during COVID feeding our elders all over Turtle Island here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, the restaurant is wonderful. It's located right in the Minneapolis American Indian Center. During the pandemic, that's how I joined. I was a volunteer at first, and we began feeding elders here in the Twin Cities free lunches 5 days a week. And at our highest point, I think we were serving 220 meals every day of the week.
Wow.
It's since kind of dwindled down. The cafe reopened in July, and now we're having some staffing shortage. So we would love to bring people in. The kind of food that we work and focus on is implementing indigenous ingredients. It's not going to be a fully decolonized menu. It's going to be introducing some of the indigenous ingredients, maybe highlighting like that fish sandwich you had with a walleye mm-hmm. melt. So we get to highlight some of the ingredients while also still, you know, having it be not totally decolonized. Use some conventional ingredients, use some decolonized ingredients, and they do marry really well. So,
yeah, they do. So can you tell our audience that we have people from all over Turtle Island listening on Facebook and Chicago and Madison, but also here in the Twin Cities. Can you tell us kind of what you're looking for as an employee and how they could reach out to you or apply for this job?
Sure. So you guys can send me an email. You can go to our social media pages, which are at Gatherings Cafe on Instagram or Gatherings Cafe on Facebook. I created flyers, so you can find my email address there. The spelling is vcasillas@maicnet.org. You know, just Google Vanessa Casillas and Gatherings Cafe and you'll find my email. Just basically shoot me a resume. The position would require... We have two full-time position openings. If you have food service industry experience, come on over. Our program is kind of unique because we are also a training program. So we also provide employment training to people who don't have experience. So you might also want to join us as an intern. And that is a paid position as well. It would pay minimum wage, or if you qualify for workforce development programs that are in the area, you could also enroll through them and get other benefits and assistance. So the internship is 10 weeks and 200 hours, and it's part-time. So you would do at most 4 to 5 hours a day. We're unique in that we also like to incorporate foraging, harvesting, working with food from seed to soil to table. So we have a plot at Little Earth, and at their urban farm, we grow some squash. We grow some Andean potatoes. We have some sunflowers, and the corn didn't do too well this year, but it's a learning experience, and we get to get out, connect with the land, take the experience outside of the cafe, and we aim to do that once a week.
Let's talk about the cafe just for a second. So what are the hours? I know they're kind of limited. I don't think you're open in the weekend. I could be wrong. Can you let our audience know that wants to stop in and support this great restaurant on Franklin Avenue?
Yeah, so right now we're on hold until we get staff in. So when we are open for business, we will be open from Tuesday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Right now we're taking a pause until we find that support staff.
Oh, wow. I did not realize that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. We desperately need folks. There's no way to put the food out and keep up with the demand until we are fully staffed.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, that's people that are looking for some part-time work. And what ages are you looking for, Vanessa?
You know, for the staff worker position, we don't discriminate. as long as you're legally able to work, come on through. For the internship, we're asking that folks either have no daytime obligations or be over 18. You know, if we work with folks who are still attending school, it conflicts with our hours of operation.
Right. I know the old days when I was a kid, I was on OJT and I worked in a restaurant, but it sounds like you're a little earlier than yes. those hours could help you with.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. Well, yeah, because our hours, we close at 3 o'clock. We need folks in earlier.
Yeah. Well, any last things, Vanessa, or anybody have a question for Vanessa here, Ogama or Lewis or Wendy?
I don't have a question. I just have a statement that most of the restaurants that I've been going to lately, honestly, they have like you have to, you know, scan their barcode and their menu pops up and you order the food and you put your credit card in and then somebody just drops the food off at your table. And I'm really hoping that that's not the way things are going to be. I mean, I think that the restaurant industry right now and the service industry is having a really hard time, like, getting people to come in and work.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it is reflected. It's, you know, we still have folks who are going to take your order here in person when we're open for business.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to eat in and dine in or take out. Mm-hmm. But again, we're waiting until we can be staffed. So if you want to apply, all you have to do is send me your resume. If you don't have experience, shoot me an email and say you want to be an intern. The only thing that we do require is that you pass a background check, because we are in the Minneapolis American Indian Center and there is youth programming.
Right on. And before I get to you, Ogama, I just want to say it's a great restaurant, and we look forward to when it opens up again. And we also want to put your stuff out on our Facebook page too, and through here. So go ahead, Ogama.
Yeah, I was just going to remind our listeners in Madison, Wisconsin, that this is for the Minneapolis American Indian Center. So, I mean, if you're in Wisconsin right now and you're looking for work and this sounds like something that you'd be doing, definitely still reach out to Vanessa if you can come this way. You know, if it's worth a move to you to come for Indigenous food sovereignty, this is at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, which is also sometimes abbreviated to the MAIC, M-A-I-C.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we'll put that out there, and hopefully we won't have to have you on next week, but we could definitely have the capacity and reach out, because this is something that needs to be done immediately. I didn't realize it was closed, and I was going to try and sneak over there tomorrow, too.
Darla. It's an immediate need, and, you know, it's a unique experience in that you get to learn to work with Indigenous foods, including harvesting. So when we're at full capacity and we can operate as normal, you know, we go out and connect with the land on Mondays.
Wow, great. Well, thank you so much for stopping in. And Pini Gigi for being Ho-Chunk, because we need more Ho-Chunks on this radio show every week. Awesome. Wow. All right, cool. Well, that was Vanessa. And really need to do a red alert for them.
Mm-hmm. It's red alert for sure.
They need workers there.
Sounds like a great opportunity to really, you know, dig in and to start, like she said, from the seed. You grow the food and then you harvest it and then you cook it. It sounds like a wonderful opportunity.
It does. So I think what we have to do too is we'll probably have to bring this up every day too, because it is a red alert, and then we'll share their stuff. But it's just, you know what I love about that restaurant in particular too is the portions are perfect size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a old person from clean your plate club.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all these other restaurants, it seems like, or a lot of these restaurants now seem like they put like three helpings of food on there, and it's perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. So whatever we can do to help, let's do it, because that's why we're here on Native Roots Radio. So anybody looking for a job or internship or hear this, or, you know, again, we'll put this out on our Facebook page and really promote this. So, hey, we got next Robert Lilligren, Wendy, and Thursdays are Robert Lilligren Day. And we'd like to see what's going on in the avenue that we're just speaking of. And just let everyone know, in Madison, Chicago, we are happening here on Franklin Avenue in Twin Cities. So we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hi, it's Tom for All Energy Solar. As a home improvement project, solar energy can start paying for itself the moment the system is powered up. It can pay back 100% of the installation cost, typically within 8 to 12 years. Plus, a system from All Energy Solar can even pay back over 300% of its cost over its lifetime. And you can save even more if you install by the end of the year with 2021 solar incentives. Learn how you can make the switch at allenergysolar.com.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything except your intelligence. Coming up, what do we owe future generations?
Well, for one thing, we owe them a habitable planet.
But they don't even exist yet. Why worry about them?
Well, we're grateful to previous generations for everything they did for us.
Yeah, but the past is over, Josh. The future isn't here.
Not yet, but it's coming.
What do we owe future generations? Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk. every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weeknights for an in-depth look at politics and current events on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown, and I'd like to tell you why you should choose us for all your printing needs. While it's true Minuteman Press Uptown provides the highest quality printing services and graphic design, there's another important reason why you should choose us. We share your values. We believe our employees are a vital part of our success. At Minuteman Press Uptown, I set out to create jobs with a living wage and benefits. I believe in second chances for people who've made mistakes in the past. We're a proud union shop and would love to earn your business.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Frank and his team at Minuteman Press Uptown are AM 950's go-to for all printing and promotional needs. I was blown away by the knowledge and passion Minuteman Press Uptown had to help me grow my business. Even if you're not sure where to start, their graphic design team can give campaign and strategy to increase your visibility. So choose a print shop who shares your values. They work with businesses, nonprofits, and political campaigns. Call 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Chamblot from Chamblot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Chamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChamblotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Partly cloudy skies overnight tonight with a low of 53. Then on Friday, a good chance of rain showers getting up to 63 degrees. Cafe Latte at Victoria Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul provides an award-winning array of salads, sandwiches, and soups, treats from the bakery made fresh daily, and a pizza and wine bar. Check them out today at cafelatte.com.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
I love that. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakan Jahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're staying on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, and we have our super guest every Thursday here, Robert Lilligren. Mm-hmm. And Robert Lilligren works at the Native American Community Development Institute. And so I'm just always pleased to kick back my cowboy boots and loosen up my big belt buckle here, my legislative belt buckle. Yeah, that's right. And sit back and talk to Robert what's going on in the avenue and also nationally so our Madison people and Chicago people don't feel left out. Welcome, Robert Lilligren.
Yeah, bonjour and danigaladuk. Hi, everyone. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you. A lot of things going on. But I just want to get your opinion, too, because this came past the wire, I don't know, earlier today, is that they found footprints here from 21,000 years ago. And I think Natives have been here for tens of thousands of years, and it's just proven it again.
Right. I was just so impressed. The first thing that popped in my mind, I'll tell you, is we are still here.
Exactly.
So that was 21,000 years ago. I wouldn't be surprised if they're older artifacts are found. You know, when I was a kid, I remember I was reading around 40,000 people said Natives have been here, Indigenous people have been here for 40,000 years. So we'll see. But that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's always good. I know when I hear Winona, a few speeches, matter of fact, bumper music for the old show, it was Winona LaDuke saying, we've been here tens of thousands of years. And it went right on, probably longer than that. And here we go.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, that was really cool.
Yeah. So, hey, what's going on in the avenue? What's going on with NADCI? A lot of stuff, as always, I'm sure.
There is so much going on. It's crazy. I got to tell you, the avenue is just hopping, the whole community here. I got to tell you, Robert, I know you can't make it, but you missed a great event in, at Little Earth of United Tribes here in South Minneapolis. It was their first ever pickle contest. And I know you were hoping to be there, Robert, but when you couldn't make it to judge, I got to step in.
Right on.
We were kind of interchangeable, Roberts. Yeah, but it was a gas. I got to tell you, it was surprising how much fun that was. And it was just one of those moments of community building and goodwill. Everyone felt good about being there. You know, the Little Earth community has a really impressive urban farm. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of youth programming that they do out of it. And a few years back, it was hard to keep a shed from being vandalized or something. And now they have all this infrastructure. They have a pizza oven. Mm-hmm. So the youth were giving tours, their pizzas were being made. And there were a lot of people from outside the community there, which I just think is great. It's amazing when non-Native people come down to Little Earth and they're like, wow, I never even knew this was here. It's exactly. Like, yeah, it's been here for what? It'll be 50 years, I think, next year. So,
holy mackerel.
So that was a great event and just a lot of fun. So we had this pickle contest and it was really competitive. a lot of Native entries, some non-Native ones. And then following that, we had a candidate forum.
Yes.
This is a municipal election here in, mm-hmm. in Minneapolis. And so all of the candidates that are seeking to represent the Little Earth area, it's the 9th ward here in Minneapolis, were there. And my organization, NACTI, has our Make Voting a Tradition project, you know, and the MBAT organizers are all right from the community, you know, tons of capacity building in the community. And they came up with this format, Robert, that's really cool. And I've never seen it before. And I've been parts of maybe 1,000, maybe more candidate forums, either as a candidate, as a moderator, you know, through party mm-hmm. activities. But they set it up really differently, where they had each candidate had a station, and then Make Voting a Tradition organizers sort of guided small groups of 3 or 4 community members to each of their tables to have about 10 minutes of direct interaction with the candidates. Then the time was called and everyone moved on to the next one. And I've never seen that before. I thought it was really cool. I'm going to suggest it in other forums.
That sounds really good. I want to jump back a little bit here and explain to our people in Madison, Chicago, a little bit about Little Earth, but also sure. if they can push the next one, whether it's 6 months or a year from now, I think Native Roots Radio should be live there because that sounds like really fun. And I don't know, I couldn't stand. I couldn't help but stare at the trophy, you know.
I know.
It's like, wow.
So people can go to my Facebook page if they're curious. There were a lot of blue comments, as my dad would have said. So people know it was on a block, a lacquered wood block with a little shield on it, but then that was a dill pickle sort of upright. So you can mm-hmm. kind of take that with your imagination.
Right. I saw it on Facebook and chuckled. But how many varieties would you say of pickles were there? Were there quite a lot?
Oh, yeah. So there were 2 categories, dill and special. So the dills, you know, were all dill, but there was such a range. I got to tell you, Wendy. And then in the special, it was anything goes. There was watermelon pickles, hot pickles, bread and butter pickles, sweet pickles. There were about maybe 10 or so. Contestants mm-hmm. in each category, and it was really cool. And Bob or Robert, I don't know why I called you Bob, Robert, I can almost guarantee that they'll do it again next year because it was such a success. So yeah, Native Roots Radio should come down there. It was a
live show, and then maybe we can get Lewis to do some pickles in his house. What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, sure. I'll just buy him from what is that, Gagney, right? Is that
right? I guess there's no rule against it.
Well, hey, can you tell our audience a little bit about Little Earth and just a brief history?
Sure. So Little Earth is this amazing community right here in South Minneapolis, just a few blocks off the American Indian Cultural Corridor, East Franklin Avenue. It's been around since 1972. It emerged right from activism, right from the involvement of the American Indian Movement in response to demands for more and better housing. And so it's technically it's a HUD, project-based Section 8 housing development. But due to a lot of activism, a lot of pushing, some lawsuits, some complaints in the early 90s, then HUD Secretary Cisneros made the determination to kind of resolve a lot of this conflict, made the determination that Little Earth could offer native presence in, or native preference in its housing. And so it's the sole example of an urban project-based Section 8 HUD housing development that's allowed to offer native preference. And so consequently, pretty much 100% of the population is native. It's about 215 different units, townhouses and units. It's got an official population of probably about 850 people. Unofficially, with people doubling up or people without shelter finding spots there, it's probably closer to 1,500 to 2,000 Native people that live there. And that solid and continuous residential presence of Native people has really anchored the Native community all in that section of South Minneapolis. And it's an amazing community. You know, I was interim CEO there for about a year and a half, about 5-6 years ago. So I got to get in there and really see it and host tours. Native folks come, other urban Indians come in. They're like, we want a Little Earth. We want a Little Earth. You know, it is really something.
You know, one thing I want to bring up, too, is during the George Floyd uprising was how Little Earth protected their own area. And, you know, I was watching this on Facebook Live and cameras, and they were putting stuff up, and it was just like, it was glorious. I don't know any other way word to say.
Yeah, they got shot at. Remember, the National Guard was shooting because they thought they were protesters, the National Guard. Right. So people are on the phone. I was on the phone with someone that was there getting shot at, on the phone with Lieutenant Governor. It's like, you know, trying to protect folks, but they protected themselves. The Little Earth protectors were amazing. We also had protectors up on Franklin Avenue, and the city is funding the protectors to keep the community safe. Our organization, NACDI, is the fiscal agent for a fairly sizable city grant that's keeping the protectors going. They invest both in the Little Earth protectors and on the cultural corridor and AIM protectors on Franklin.
It's I know.
Community capacity.
That's great and crazy. I'm going to get to you, Lewis, in just a second, but I just want to say I know I'm on the secret Facebook or the secret texting group Signal with AIM, and they're there every night. So go ahead, Lewis. Yep.
No, I just wanted to give a shout out to so many organizations that came from Little Earth. I would be remiss if I didn't, you know, first thing came to mind was my mom. She used to give groceries out there every Tuesday, free groceries to the, you know, Little Earth community there every Tuesday. She did that for like 10 years. And I got to say, people that live there are some of the nicest, generous, amazing human beings you'll ever meet. You know, there's this, I think there's this stigma with Section 8 that somehow that it is, you know, the least of us, but some of these people, they'll give the last thing they have for you. And I just want to commend people that live there, especially people like Mukwa Roberts and the Little Earth Defenders in that community, that through the riots, you know, the McGizzy Center being burned down, all these things, they held their own, and they held their own with organizations like the American Indian Movement out there. So big ups to them, and they're the ones feeding their community, giving, you know, lunches to elders out there. It is truly a village. It's truly a community all in itself.
Liz, I agree 100%. And, you know, you bring up Mukwa Roberts, and he also does a lot with the youth in sports. And so he helped reinvigorate the Little Earth Red Bears basketball teams and baseball teams, and now they've taken it a little broader. They just call themselves the Red Bears because they're drawing Native kids from all around the neighborhood. And again, my organization, NACDI, is their fiscal agent, and they're really pumping out. We're seeking some more funds from them. And these athletes are competitive. They compete in the Minneapolis Parks and Rec leagues and in other leagues, and they win. They're good.
Well, Robert, do you have time to do another short segment with us?
Sure, happy to.
Awesome. Hey, I just got to give a quick shout out what Lewis was talking about. We have to remind everyone that Ogama and her significant other were on the front lines with AIM during that time, too. I just want to give Ogama a quick shout out there. She was standing guard by the Indian Center, as a matter of fact. So, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break with Robert Lilligren, Executive Director of the Native American Community Development Institute.
Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on stronghartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, the piano guy showed. What was that, Lewis? You had to...
That was my mistake. That was someone writing a complaint letter.
Kermit the frog.
Kermit the sacred animal frog? Okay, Wendy. Your segment's tomorrow, and hopefully you're going to do some more trivia.
I have something really fun lined up, so okay, good. Stay tuned.
Hey, we're back here with Robert Lilligren, Executive Director of the Native American Community Development Institute. Welcome back, Robert. Now, I'm wondering, Ogama, you had your hand raised. Did you have a question for Robert?
I wasn't a question so much as a statement. Robert was talking about how the city has invested in Little Earth's protectors and the AIM patrol. And I just wanted to point out how fantastic that is, because people, especially Native people and other BIPOC people, have been calling for that support to their community organizations to protect ourselves, to maintain our own safety. We know who is who. We know what trouble looks like in our communities a lot more than police who live in the suburbs and come into our communities do. So I just wanted to point out how fantastic that is and just give you a big chimigwich for helping to organize that and to making sure that it was safe. I mean, as safe as it could be for me and my partner to be there to protect the American Indian Center and be on Franklin Avenue. You know, you guys provided flashlights and fire extinguishers and t-shirts and walkie-talkies and all these things, all these tools that were needed to make sure we could be in touch with one another and keep track of one another and stay safe. And I think somebody even came up with a couple of cases of Red Bull, too, because we pulled two all-nighters.
I want a walkie-talkie. Yeah. I want a walkie-talkie. Yeah, oh, that is awesome.
Well, and I mean, right on, Ogama, you just said it, you know, and a lot of the effort was to make sure that we were also using some of those funds for things that we could keep, like the walkie-talkies, like the t-shirts, things that we could continue to use in the community. And it's not the first time the city of Minneapolis has done that. A few years back, NACDI was the local community partner for what's called the Collaborative Public Safety Strategies. It was to provide safety around Little Earth. And so from start to finish, conception to implementation, it was community-based. You know, it was about capacity building, safety programs with an emphasis on youth involvement. And the city invested $250,000 in that, you know. And through NACDI, and now this last round, I think the grant from the city was $150,000 to keep the protectors going. And this is community policing, right? And, you know, folks know Minneapolis is in a weird place right now since George Floyd was murdered. We have a lack of police, a lack of public safety response. And you are right on, Ogama. Our community can protect itself. We know what's what, who's who, you know, what should be happening, who shouldn't be here. And so, you know, this community policing model that everyone's talking about, we're already doing it. And I'll remind folks, that's why AIM came together in the 70s was to, 1968, was to protect people, especially women who were walking along the avenue and weren't safe. So we have a long history.
One thing I remember about those couple nights, it seemed like they all just gelled together, was Unicorn Riot actually broadcasted AIM arresting or citizens, I don't know what you'd call it legally, but they detained two males that were going to spray paint part of, part of Little Earth and I think the American Indian Center there. And these were two, you know, and everyone's like, you know, it's all this, you know, racial divide and stuff. But these guys were like from a small town in western Wisconsin that drove all the way to Minneapolis and wanted to start some stuff. And AIM was there to not only detain them, but stop them from vandalizing. Yeah. I think that is community action, Robert.
Here, Lois. And it was, you know, that was kind of the theme too. People from outside the city were coming in and doing the damage. You know, people here weren't burning down their own neighborhoods. Best story from that era was another AIM story where they stopped three young people, not from the community, not from here, who were breaking into a liquor store. And so they held them, you know, called their parents. Yep. Their parents had to drive in from wherever they were to fetch their kids. And that one has just become legend through this whole thing.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm wondering if you have anything else to talk about nationally or locally, because we're really jamming on this. One of the things I want to just bring up before you do segue, if you do, is that the city really needs to give that park across the street to Little Earth, you know. And I've been in a lot of community discussion about crime around there, and we talk about the police not showing up now, and especially in Minneapolis. The city's got to give that park back to, or give it back, or give it to Little Earth.
Yeah, kind of a land back thing, right? And perfect. And I don't think that's out of the question. It's been a huge goal of Little Earth for a lot of years. You know, there's capacity issues to programming and running a park, but I think more and more Little Earth is showing that it would be great stewards of that property. And you've been there. You know, it feels like it is part of Little Earth. I mean, it's literally right in the middle of the community. So, and it's getting used, man. The other day after the pickle contest and the Ninth Ward Candidate Forum, Little Earth folks were silk screening t-shirts in the park. And then there were Little Earth community people planning these kind of heavy duty planners that the city of Minneapolis contributed to calm traffic around Little Earth. So they have these planters right out in the street. Wow. They were all planting those. I mean, just a lot of good community stuff going on.
Yeah, that's really cool and interesting that people come around, and when you were working directly with Little Earth, came to see how you guys did it. That's cool to hear that, I should say. That's an awesome story.
Yeah, it's a unique place. It's an awesome place for sure. There's demonstrations going on right now, but they started at 5. I assume they're still going on. There's this movement to create a urban farm on a city-owned piece of property. It's called the Roof Depot. I'm sure Robert, you know something about it. Mm-hmm. And the city council just took a really adverse action on that, kind of disregarded this community's interest, and decided to move forward with their waterworks facility that'll bring more trucks. It's the most polluted part of Minneapolis. You know, it has high asthma rates, all these pollution-related conditions. And so, you know, my new cry, you know, rallying cry around that is, I can't breathe. You bring this more, you know, pollution in. Seriously, we can't breathe here anymore. So they're demonstrating over there right now, I'm guessing.
That's awesome. You know, and so how many days do we have left in the election? Because I know we talked, I was talking to Wendy during the break here, commercial break, and I was going, I miss talking to Robert. We used to do like a 10-minute segment, but we'd talk about 45 minutes before we do our,
right.
our segment, just about things, you know? And you know, what else is going on, Robert? We got a minute left.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Just a lot of cool stuff. I was going to talk about a couple things, but I think we're 44 days out from our election here in Minneapolis. But tomorrow there's going to be just a really significant event. It's a whole bunch of community partners are participating. The lead was taken by the Minnesota Indian Men's Resource Center, and it's a boarding school survivor and victim memorial march. We're meeting at Cedarfield Park, the park we were just talking about at Little Earth. We'll march through the community, end up back at Little Earth for a feast. And it's kind of a somber, you know, event, but it's important mm-hmm. for the community to stand up. And our thanks to Marissa Cummings, the CEO of Minnesota Indian Resource Center, and there's about a half a dozen or so or more partner organizations, including NACT. So if folks are around the cities and are free around lunchtime tomorrow, stop on down to Little Earth, to Cedarfield Park, 1 o'clock or a little before, and we'll march.
That's it. Wow, that's great. Thank you so much for being on, as always. Thank you, Lewis. Thank you, Ogama. Thank you, Wendy, for doing this. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenticoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3. Please get vaccinated.
Good one. Good night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.